The next case I want to talk about is Tarrant Regional Water District versus Johnson. This is in the paper on page 9 in the supplement. It's from April of this year. It's an opinion by Justice Blacklock. And the issue here is whether immunity was waived under the discretionary function exception. And in this case, the Johnson's daughter was walking across a dam in Tarrant County and slipped and fell and drowned. A little background on the dam, a series of these dams were built in the 60s. In the early 2000s, the Water District decided to redesign them, and so several of them were demolished, including the one that Johnson walked across. And they demolished them and redesigned them to allow kayaks and canoes to pass through the dams. But they noticed when they were doing the demolition, the water level had changed dramatically. When the dams were built in the 60s, the water level was about 3.5 feet on the lake side of the dams. It was pretty shallow when you got to the lake side. And now, at 40 years later, it was now 9 feet deep. So it's about 3 times as deep as when they were originally designed. But the Water District decided that that made sense to keep it at that level because of the kayaks and the canoes. That was easier for them to have a little bit deeper water. The problem was the deep water just on the downside of the dam creates something called hydraulic boil. I didn't know what that was, but if you YouTube that, you can see it causes a problem for people in a kayak, and certainly someone who might fall into that kind of water would have a difficult time swimming. And so that's what the Johnson family alleged, that this was a dangerous condition and that there should have been a warning sign on this dam. Well, trial court denied the plea of the jurisdiction, and the Fort Worth court affirmed in part and reversed in part. They poured out most of the Johnson's claims, but they left standing a premises defect claim based on the failure to maintain. They said that this water depth was something that the district should have taken care of. It was part of a maintenance issue, not a part of the design. So the Supreme Court reversed and dismissed all the claims. And as you know, the discretionary function exception creates a waiver of the immunity the section preserves immunity for policy decisions or when the failure to act is something not required by law. So the court went through a lot of the older cases that talk about policy and operation and design and maintenance and tried to kind of get away from those terms a little bit. They use the best example. If you the government designs a bridge or a roadway, that's discretionary for which they're immune versus if they fail to maintain. That's not discretionary, and immunity is waived. So when they went through this, they said, look, the district had discretion to decide what these dams were going to be used for. And they had a choice. Is this going to be about people crossing it, or is it going to be about kayaks crossing it? And that was something within the discretion of the Water District to do that. And it was also within the Water District's discretion to focus their maintenance efforts on the intent of the dam, which was for boat passing, not people crossing it. And the court also said that this could not possibly be a failure to maintain. This was a natural bed of flowing water. You couldn't possibly expect the government to take care of that and maintain it. It's not like it's a public work, you know, a concrete culvert, so there was no way that this was a failure to maintain. So in any event, that all of this was discretionary for the Water District, so they retained their immunity. Now, the next couple of cases, these are the ones that were really recent. This first one actually came out June 28th. I think it was on the court's last hand-down of the term. It's a Med-Mal case. This was a 5-3 decision, so Justice Busby, the newest justice, did not participate in this case. UT MD Anderson versus McKenzie. The issue here was whether the use of an allegedly improper drug during surgery amounted to the use of tangible property. And it also had a foreseeability proximate cause issue. So the facts in this case, it's really a detailed opinion, and I know nothing about medical stuff. All I do is I do watch Grey's Anatomy. I love to do that, but that's the extent of my medical background. But I'll try to explain the facts as best I can. So McKenzie had a rare condition with her appendix, cancer in her appendix. And so her oncologist suggested that she try an experimental surgery that had been developed. I think it was in Wake Forest. Another hospital had developed this experimental treatment. So basically what they did was cut her open, cut out all the cancer that they could see, and then the idea was to flood her body with chemotherapy drugs, let that sit for a while, and then flush them out. But the chemotherapy drugs had to have what they called a carrier agent, which was a sugar water solution, according to the opinion. It was called D5W. And that was not something that MD Anderson came up with. This was part of the protocol. If you were going to use these chemotherapy drugs, you had to use D5W to actually get it through a person's body. But the D5W had a known side effect, which that was it dropped your blood sodium level. And if your sodium level drops, it causes your water in your body to go up, which causes swelling. And that's what happened to Mackenzie. Her brain swelled, caused herniation, and she died a couple of days after the surgery.